case on our calendar today is Katie Holmes, Nevada Inc. versus the 8th Judicial District and Real Party in Interest, Liberty and Paradise Community Association et al., case number 69389. Mr. Bice, you ready to go?
May it please the court. Good afternoon, Your Honors. Todd Bice on behalf of Petitioner KB Holm of Nevada. KB Holm appreciates the court considering this writ petition, which it believes presents a significant legal issue for home builders and both the homeowners in the state of Nevada concerning the applications of Chapter 116 of the Nevada Revised Statutes. I think stripped down to its basics, the question comes down to whether or not NRS 116.312 sub 1 sub D is in fact a limitation on a homeowners association's ability to participate in litigation. With that respect to that, the district court ruled that they had not, being Liberty, the homeowners association, had not satisfied the standing requirements of that statute. With that said, the homeowners have taken the position, the association has taken the position that that statute is merely one of apparently an unlimited number of means in which a homeowners association may participate in litigation that concerns claims as to the homes themselves as opposed to common areas. Their theory for this is to say that, well, under other provisions of 116.31 or 3102, homeowners associations have the right to enter into contracts, they have the right to own certain property under certain circumstances, and they generally have the rights under some of those subsections of other organizations of a similar nature. With that, they argue that, like any other company, they claim, they can thus take an assignment of rights, go out and acquire lawsuits or rights to lawsuits, own them in their own individual capacity as an association, and then bring them. And that's essentially what they did here, and the district court allowed them to do that. Because what they did is, after the district court had ruled that they did not satisfy the requirements of 3102 as an associate to join and substitute in for the homeowners themselves, they then said, well, we have a bunch of agreements that are styled participation slash assignments. And those participation slash assignments go on to recite to various homeowners that we believe that we will have standing under the Beezer decision and we will be allowed to substitute in. But in the event that we're not, we would like to take an assignment of claims, and then these are some of the catchwords, to the extent necessary to confer standing upon us. And with that, they presented approximately 259 of those out of the 350 homes in this community to the district court. The district court accepted them. There was no evidentiary hearing about the manner in which those were executed, their validity, or anything of the sort. But the district court held those assignments are valid. Those assignments can then be asserted by the homeowners association in its own right in order to establish its standing as a direct claimant.
Let me just pause you so I'm clear on the statute involved. The second sentence in 116.3102.1D, that says the association may not institute, defend, etc.
Yes.
That was added in 2015, correct?
Correct.
So before February 24th, 2015, that statute was the same, but it didn't have the second sentence. Is that correct?
That is correct. The first sentence was there.
Yes. And do you concede or not that all of these assignments were written before February 24th, 2015?
Oh, they were not. The record shows that those assignments, I actually believe a majority of them, are post-dated after the date of that legislation. I believe the record establishes that. There are some of them that were beforehand, but many of them
post-dated.
Were after that date.
Okay, so they straddle it.
So they do straddle it, yes.
And do you concede that that statute does not apply to this litigation as amended or not?
That's Justice Pickering, that is an interesting question, and let me answer it in two ways, and I think both of which are accurate. One, it doesn't matter
okay.
for purposes of this case, and two, I believe that, yes, it does still apply. And the reason that it applies, I recognize under Section 21 of the bill itself, AB 125, Section 21, it says right in there that Section 20 is effective immediately unless there was the Homeowners Association had given a Chapter 40 notice preceding the date of the adoption of that legislation. So, of course, that presupposes that that notice was effective, and it presupposes that they had the ability to give notice. But on its face, I do acknowledge that under the bill itself, it says that the amendment to 3102 does not apply if a notice under Chapter 40 had been given by the Homeowners Association prior to February 24, 2015.
So this case is a poor candidate as a vehicle for us to opine whether or not under the post-2015 amendment version of this statute, it is impermissible for an HOA to take an assignment and try to come in other than as permitted by that statute.
Just Pickering, our position is that even prior to the amendment in 2015, the statute that
implicitly
statute is a restriction. It is not only an authorization by its express terms, it is a restriction. It specifically says, for example, so eliminating the last sentence, it specifically says that the Homeowners Association can bring the action in its own name or on behalf of two or more homeowners. So by definition,
but it didn't have the second may not,
that is true,
prohibition in it.
That is absolutely true. But by definition, it was a restriction upon a homeowners association and what they could and could not do in terms of litigation. That fact, the fact that it is a restriction, I'll agree that the amendment made it even far more restrictive after 2015, but it was still a restriction on the types of involvement that the Homeowners Association could have to bring any form of claim or defend any form of claim.
So yes, the statutory clarification, which you're saying it's really a clarification of it, does that mean that maybe this isn't such a great case for mandamus purposes?
No, I think it is an appropriate case for mandamus purposes because I believe it is still necessary to resolve the question of whether or not 3102 is a restriction or is merely a permissive means that allows the Homeowners Association.
A new means, yeah.
A different means.
Mr. Rice, is there anything that's still alive and well out of the 2009 D.R. Horton case that Justice Hardesty authored in terms of language that goes a little beyond the then statute?
Justice Douglas, that's an awfully broad question. For purposes of this appeal, the D.R. Horton case did recognize, I think, that there needed to be some form of statutory authorization for the Homeowners Association to bring that claim. Now, I would argue that the more recent amendments to the statute, I think, have made it quite clear that the Homeowners Association's ability to be involved in litigation is very narrowly restricted. The legislature, I think, has made it clear that they essentially want these Homeowners Associations out of the litigation-generating business. If it is purely a matter of matters of the common community interest, those matters themselves, where the Homeowners Association is responsible for them, then yes, exclusively in those matters, the legislature has said they can be involved in litigation directly or in a representative capacity. But outside of that circumstance, even before that amendment, their involvement was supposed to be on matters of the community interest on behalf of two or more homeowners. That, again, was a restriction. And here the district court has said and ruled they did not satisfy those requirements under the statute and denied their motion under the statute to substitute. So what they have proposed, and by the way, if this works, this assignment mechanism that they have proposed works, I believe it circumvents the entire statute. Because what they are claiming is they are no longer acting in a representative capacity. They are now the direct plaintiff. They are, as a homeowners association, are allowed to go out and cobble together claims, purchase them, get them assigned to them, however one wants to characterize it, and then claim we are now the plaintiff in our own right. The restrictions on chapter in section 3201 don't even apply to us. That, we submit, is what the issue is. And that's what we are asking this court to resolve, because that statute was a restriction when it was first adopted, and the amendments in 2015 are only an emphasis on the very limited role in which the legislature authorizes homeowners associations to be asserting claims. I want to reserve the rest of my time here shortly, but I want to make the following additional point about how what we submit the impropriety of these assignments are. These assignments are so vague and so amorphous. Chapter 40 is supposed to encourage the builder and the homeowner to get together and try and resolve a lot of these matters before they burden and jam up the court system. But now, the homeowners are now, if these assignments are effective, they are out of the loop. Under the law, they are no longer the owner of their own claims. How they can do that, consistent with their mortgage obligations to their lenders, is not been addressed by the district court. But nonetheless, there was no evidentiary hearing, and now they are the holders of the claims. And if they are the holders of the claims, if we now face, when I say we, the builder, how are we supposed to fix these homes? They have assigned those claims, according to the Homeowners Association, to them. If we bestow a $50,000 benefit on a homeowner by making repairs, that claim was assigned long before those repairs were made. And we now face a lawsuit over here by a homeowners association saying, hey, that's our claim now. The homeowner is no longer involved because it has been assigned. That, again, is something the legislature did not intend.
Mr. Vice, on the assignments, not asking me to agree or disagree with the validity of them, but a question as to the assignments relating back for purposes of Chapter 40 notice. Do they relate back or don't they relate back, in your opinion?
I don't see how they can relate back. As Justice Pickering observed, they straddle the amendments to the statute. And these, again, are individual homeowners who are now saying, we are asserting we had rights in an individual capacity that we have now assigned to someone else who is now asserting them. So they, again, are not asserting this as a class action. They dropped all of their class applications. When you're talking about relation back, you're typically talking about class action type allegations where subsequently brought in homeowners are protected by the mere filing of the class complaint.
But wasn't this filed as a class action?
It was originally, but they dropped that upon the substitution. All of the class allegations are now gone. This is no longer a class claim. They are claiming that under these assignments, they are now the direct plaintiff and are forever. And by the way, whether they ever make any repairs to the homes or however they choose to allocate the proceeds or whatever the terms of attorney's fees are between the association and the attorney are none of the homeowner's business, because those are no longer the homeowner's claims.
Was class certification ever denied?
Never sought.
Okay. So never sought, never denied?
Never sought, never denied. I thank the court for its time. I'd like to reserve what I have left. Thank you, Mr. Price. Mr. Kelsey.
The court. Good afternoon. My name is Scott Kelsey, and I represent the Real Party and Interest Liberty of Paradise Community Association. First, I just want to dispel some a myth with regards to what we're dealing with here. Just like they did with the district court, KB Home would like this court to believe that the association is some outside corporate entity that in some way is here to get over on the homeowners. Well, in reality, KB created the association, and it is made up of the homeowners. And it is charged with fiduciary duty to act in the best interests of the community and to act pursuant to the business judgment rule. If you take a look at NRS 116-3103, the executive board acts on behalf of the association. Our fiduciaries shall act on an informed basis, in good faith, in the honest belief that their actions are in the best interest of the association, subject to the business judgment rule and subject to conflict of interest rules. The executive board, Your Honors, are fellow homeowners in the community. And many of them, their homes are involved in this matter. I can't find a better entity that would be more interested in holding KB Home to task for the 259 effectively constructed homes, but the association. I realize that Justice Pickering was looking at some guidance on AB 125. It still amazes me that KB Home won't concede that AB 125 doesn't apply in this case. The initial Chapter 40 notice to KB Home was dated October 4th, 2012, which was actually by an individual homeowner, an individual homeowner started this action, right? The initial complaint was filed on February 18th, 2014. AB 125's passage and approval was on February 24th, 2015. AB 125's own provisions specifically state that it does not apply to this case. The provisions are, Section 21, Provision 3 says, the provisions of NRS 40.645, 40.650, and 40.695, as amended by Section 8, 14, and 16 of this action, apply to a notice of construction defect given on or after the effective date of this act. So not only did the individual initial homeowner Chapter 40 notices, not only were those sent to KB prior to the passage and approval of AB 125, but all of the association subsequent Chapter 40 notices, including the common construction defect notice that was sent to KB Home, were all prior to the passage and approval of AB 125.
Can I ask a question on the propriety of these assignments? Have, in your experience, I know your firm does a lot of this work, have other states like California addressed the propriety of the homeowners assigning their claims to the association where they're the outright owner and can pursue it? I know we have a statutory scheme in Nevada, but I'm just curious with how other courts around the country have addressed this issue, if you're aware of it.
I am not aware of how other...
So California hasn't addressed this?
Or? I can't say that with all certainty. I approached this argument and this matter from what the law is in the state of Nevada.
Okay, I understand.
And
as you, a point that you had raised and notices prior, we have purported assignments, substitutions coming under NRCP 17A, 25C, and even looking at 20, do they relate back? Or are they barred from relating back to the initial construction defect notice?
I think they relate back. And I think the Easton Business Opportunities case and this court's decision in that matter specifically allows that to happen. And we referenced it in the pleadings. I call it Easton Bus for short. It specifically states, after Rule 17's amendment, it is today taken as settled law that there is no general requirement as to when an assignment must be made, and even when the claim is not assigned until after the action has been instituted, the assignee is the real party in interest and can maintain the action.
But as we read that with Chapter 40 requirements, that's, for me, that's a dicey issue as to it actually relating back to that notice.
Well, I mean, Your Honor, Chapter 40 is a process. It's a pre-litigation process. There's not one part of the initial process that ends the process. I think the Chapter 40 process in this matter went along for about a year and a half, approximately. KB is aware of the claims that are made against them with regards to the homes.
And were all the homeowners engaged in that process? That's the part where I'm getting lost. It looks like five homeowners sent Chapter 40 notices, filed a class action complaint. The process got underway, but I don't know when the homeowners, the other 300 homeowners or however many there are, engaged with KB Homes in the process and by what means.
It was shortly after the association sent out the common construction defect notice that 301, I believe, homes were actually inspected with KB representatives present. Reports were made from those homes, from those inspections, the defect reports. They were served on KB. So there was an interaction.
And so were they covered by the class action complaint to preserve the 300 extra homeowners' rights? How did that work? How did they preserve their claims?
They started the action. They made class claims.
Five plaintiffs started it, right?
I believe so.
And then those five plaintiffs made class claims.
As a part of the construction, as a part of the filing of the complaint, that's correct. There were also statute of limitations concerns. pursuant to Chapter 40. If there are statute of limitations concerns, you can file a complaint prior to the completion of the Chapter 40 process. And that's what ultimately happened here. KB Home also entered into a stay, willingly entered into a stay so that the Chapter 40 process could be completed. And that stipulation was entered on July 8th, 2014.
Mr. Bias had indicated that this was no longer a class action. Do you agree with that?
Through the course of the Chapter 40 process, and all of the homeowners in the community, the 354, I believe, homes in the community, after everybody having the opportunity to be a part of the matter if they so chose, ultimately 259 homeowners executed the assignments and want to be a part of this case on a go-forward basis. I will say, KB Home, to its credit, made repairs to, I believe, 301 homes total during the Chapter 40 process. So even homeowners that decided that they didn't want to continue because maybe they were satisfied with KB Home's repairs, the homeowners in the community, the 301 homeowners, got a benefit by virtue of the association's action in this matter. Taking action when it did not have to take that action. The association is not required to maintain the individual homes, but the association saw that 73% of its homeowners ultimately now, by virtue of all of the executed assignments, want to take action against KB Home, want the association to take action against KB Home to pursue the defects with regards to their homes. That's a sizable portion of the community. And there is great interest by the association to make sure that this matter is properly handled, prosecuted, and KB is held to task.
How do you respond to Mr. Bice's position that the assignments aren't validly made and not specific enough?
Well, pursuant to Jane B. McFarland, this court ruled that arguments of counsel are not evidence and do not establish the facts of the case.
I understand that, but back to the question, validity of the assignment.
I think they're valid. The district court Judge Weiss reviewed them. He didn't find any
specific findings.
He said they were valid. He reviewed them. He did not find them devoid of any consideration of any material terms. Anything that he didn't find them illusory. All the arguments that they've made, the district court judge has reviewed them and said no, that they didn't exist. And in fact, we called the court's attention to another matter, Sandstone Community. Sandstown Condominiums Homeowners Association matter. Almost identical assignments have also been upheld in that matter by Judge Kishner as being valid. And by the way, associations gaining standing by virtue of assignments has been going on in construction defect litigation in Nevada for at least a decade since I've been practicing in construction defect. This is not a novel concept. This is not new. This has been before, I think, every district court. The only district court that I'm not aware of, as I stand here currently, that has not agreed to allow association standing based upon assignments is Judge Williams. But Judge Johnson's done it. Judge Weiss has obviously done it. Judge Kishner's done it. And Judge Rowe did it in the Sandstone case prior to him leaving the bench. He indicated that, yes, you can gain assignments. You can gain association standing by way of contractual assignments with the homeowner.
But it seems like, as a matter of common law, the assignment has to be absolute for the real party to switch. And looking at these assignments, I had a question whether or not an assignment to the extent necessary and so on is an absolute universal assignment. So they're not dividing up or splitting the claims, but actually assigning them.
Here's the problem. We don't have a crystal ball, and we can't read the minds of the district court judges, of your honors, of the Nevada legislature, who saw fit to change Chapter 40 in a lot of ways. Post this case's inception. So the goal of the assignment is to try to account for anything that's going to be required of the association with regards to any changes in law that may occur, which it has occurred.
I'm sorry.
finish your answer, Justice
Pickering. The district court judge in this instance, Judge Weiss, could have found that the association had
standing. But these were defective in some way, but he didn't, and that's your point.
Right, well, he may have determined that some claims the association had standing for by virtue of its NRS 116-3102-1D standing, and some claims they didn't. So it's a suspenders approach to make sure that everything's covered as best as you possibly can at the time that these assignments are negotiated and put before the homeowners and the homeowners association.
So he has not ruled that there were no 3102-1D claims, is what you just said?
There's
yeah.
No, he rejected our standing, statutory standing by
so birth. you're all in on the assignments, or not at all, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Which is an interesting point, Your Honor. If it's not at all, then the homeowners of 259 homes are going to be unable to pursue KB for known defects that KB's aware of, that they were placed on notice of, because AB 125 now time bars those claims.
Do they still have their class action pending, or what's...
The association was substitution, so I'd say no.
Counsel, that raises an interesting point, which you just said. If I have no idea what we're going to do, but let's say we agreed with Mr. Bias on the issue of the assignments. Could the homeowners, could you amend the pleadings to have like a joinder action from all these people relating back to the date of the original complaint? And to get around the statute of limitations of AB 125?
There is a stipulation that was entered once it was our understanding that KB Home was going to take this writ up. And I believe we have built into it some measure of time, a very short period of time, for that to happen. They would probably argue otherwise. So my inclination is to tell you that no, I don't think we have that opportunity, because they've already done everything they possibly can to fight this matter moving forward. I suspect they would try to find some problem with regards to the stipulation that they entered into as well. But I guess potentially there's a chance.
Okay. Kelsey, what are the theories of liability in the complaint that the association is advocating? Are they negligence, contract?
Correct.
What are?
Correct, yes.
What are?
Breach of contract, negligence. I believe that we list many of them in the assignment.
I just wanted to know what's in the amended complaint.
I don't have it before me, but it runs the gamut. Inclusive of all of those causes of action that you just mentioned, and that I mentioned as well.
Okay.
Is there any other prohibition statutorily? I mean, they're arguing that 3102 prohibits the HOA from accepting assignments in this setting. Now, there's common law that you can't assign a fraud claim because of champerty and maintenance. And I'd like your views on whether or not there are other species of claim, either by statute or common law, that cannot be assigned.
Well, to get back to a point that was made about 8125, I think that he may be technically right. There is no anti-assignment clause that is in AB 125. AB 125 only amended the provisions of NRS 116-3102-1D. It did not at all amend the provisions of 3102-1E, H, or R.
But that second sentence says the HOA may not intervene, institute, or defend, etc. What do you make of that language?
In Easton Bus, you rule that it provides that an anti-assignment clause would have to contain a specific prohibition on the power to make an assignment and specifically state that any attempted assignment will be void or invalid.
That would be a contractual anti-assignment clause, but this is asserted to be a statutory one.
I don't know.
Okay, thank you. Fair enough.
I think at the end of the day, Nevada law provides the association the legal right to contract.
And assignments a species of contract.
Exactly. And there's no prohibition on the HOA, on the association obtaining these assignments. No prohibition anywhere that I can find. And so at the end of the day, we believe that Judge Weiss made a well-reasoned, sound decision based upon well-formed and sound Nevada law at the end of the day. He didn't abuse his discretion. He made the ruling that he believed he had to make at the time, and I still think that's the right ruling. So does my client.
Okay, Mr. Kelsey, thank you.
Thank you all.
I think the last exchange sort of highlights the point of what is really at issue here, which is why this written one to be considered. That is, their essential position is that Section 3102 can simply be disregarded because other provisions of the statute that defines when the homeowner association may prosecute, defend, or intervene can simply be disregarded because under their theory, they can always just go around it by way of assignment. And they're acknowledging that they're claiming that this has been going on for 10 years or more. And in their brief, they acknowledge this is the new beast that is going to be used to get around that statute. That there's no question that that is what is going on here. The legislature has said it wants these homeowners, and we all know why. I mean, we don't need to go back over the newspaper articles about the United States government's investigation into what was going on with some of these homeowners associations. They wanted these homeowners associations out of the litigation-generating business. That's what the legislature has said. And what their position to you is, nope, all we will do is claim that we can just take an assignment from the homeowners. We're now the claim holder. And we can just assert that on our own, right? And that legislation just is absolutely rendered completely meaningless. You heard it directly.
But they're saying that they're under the pre-2015 version, which didn't have that prohibition in it directly.
That didn't have that prohibition in it as explicit as it is, but it still had a prohibition in it. And that prohibition was, it not only was that provision an authorization of when they can intervene, defend, or prosecute, it's also a limitation. It contained conditions that had to be satisfied, and Judge Weiss here said, you didn't satisfy them. And so their solution to that, and it'll be the same exact solution regardless of the AB 125, as you just heard it. We will take a direct assignment, and these assignments, I'm out of time, I can't address all the problems with these assignments, but they are numerous.
Chief, could I ask one more question?
Sure, of course.
Mr. Weiss, again, my question to Mr. Kelsey was about this hypothetical. If we agreed with you, could they come back and amend and join in on an individual basis, these homeowners that want to participate? What's your position on that?
Yeah, just to give it, here would be the typical operation of that, right? You have class action allegations that the complaint was initially constituted. And under traditional rules, the making of a class allegation tolls the statute of limitations until such time as the class allegations are resolved. Once those allegations are resolved, the class is either certified or the certification is denied. And if the certification is denied, the individuals are given a window of time. I don't remember how it's calculated. Federal courts have dealt with this a lot, securities litigation. I don't remember how that window is calculated. The only thing I can say about that issue here is the reason that they did this is because I think they recognized that, and this is why Judge Weiss denied their 3102 motion, is this is not anywhere near appropriate class allegations. These are, as he recognized, these are problem in this house, a problem in this house, a problem in this house.
And mass, them are all the same. They could do like a California-style mass action,
yes.
Bring them people in, and prove up their individual claims. I mean,
yes.
I guess I'm trying to find out is you have a position on the statute of limitations.
I don't right now because I haven't really given that sufficient thought about what would be the effect of their withdrawing of their class allegations, because they did withdraw their class allegations, mm-hmm. and they abandoned that. And I haven't thought that through,
okay.
as to what the effect of that withdrawal is. If it hadn't been withdrawn, then I think that it would be resolved in the ordinary course like any other class action. Once the certification question is resolved, it's either certified or it's not, and then there's a window to join in your individual capacity.
Right.
I think
Mr. Weiss, before you sit down, do you think the district court should have conducted a reasonable threshold test as to the assignments?
Yes. I don't, he decreed them valid And all I can say on this is this language about to the extent necessary, I think just highlights the problems. What has been assigned? We have no idea. The only thing that's been assigned is what's necessary to confer standing on them. So we face being KB. We have liability still to the homeowner, apparently, because they maybe didn't assign certain claims. We have no idea. But we also face liability to the association now because they claim to be the holder directly, not as a representative, but directly as the owner of the claim in and of itself. I mean, respectfully, the mischief that such a process will create if it is allowed to circumvent the statute, to circumvent the legislature's desire that these associations get out of the litigation generating business, I think it would be far more problematic if these assignments are allowed than prior to the than what was occurring prior to even the adoption of AB 125. I thank the court.
All right, Mr. Price, Mr. Kelsey, thank you very much for your arguments today. And the case will stand submitted and the court will be in